appreciate Bruce leading us in that hymn that we sung a few moments ago titled, Give Me the Bible. And when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Amen. Sadly, there are many today when they want to discuss spiritual matters with you that they will want to talk about giving you their opinion. They'll want to give you what men have written in creed books in regard to spiritual matters, or they'll want to give you what has been handed down to them by their parents and their grandparents, and they'll say, see, this is what I've been taught all my life, and therefore it's got to be right. But when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. I want to take just a few moments to talk to us about why our plea should always be, only give me the Bible tonight when it comes to spiritual matters. Because the fact of the matter is, when it comes to spiritual matters, more than the Bible is too much, and less than the Bible is not enough. Knowing that, let's take a look at just a few examples for why our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. And I begin by suggesting to us that when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. Simply because it is the only book that is inspired by God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Alvin just so ably read that for us there from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse number 16. And there the inspired Apostle Paul informed that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You see, the Bible, it is God's all-inspired Word. And when it comes to spiritual matters, we need to go by what God has said and not by what we think or what man has written down in creed books and what he has said. We don't go by what has been handed down to us, but we go by what is revealed to us in God's all-inspired Word. Knowing, as we go on to learn there in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, that God's all-inspired Word, it's profitable to us. It's profitable to us for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's important, isn't it? That's important. And did you know, as Paul goes on to say there in verse number 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, that God's Word is the only thing that is able to thoroughly equip men for every good work. Did you know that? God's Word, it's profitable to us. And when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. Realizing the value that is within God's Word and the profit that it is to us when we apply it. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, only give me the Bible, simply because there is no other book more true than the Bible. Did you know that? You see, the Bible, God's all-inspired Word, it's a book of truth. It's true. And there's no other book on earth more true than the Bible. When I think about the truth contained within God's Word, I'm mindful of what the psalmist revealed there in Psalm 119, 160. And there in Psalm 119, 160, the psalmist said, the entirety of your Word is truth. The old King James Version says, the sum of thy Word is truth. Simply put, the psalmist understands the fact that God's Word is truth. We go on to learn where Jesus even confirmed this there in John chapter 17 and verse number 17. As good Bible students, we're familiar with the context there in John chapter 17. Jesus is praying to his Father. And as he's praying to his Father for his chosen disciples, he prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Why, Jesus? He says, your Word is truth. Jesus acknowledges the fact that God's word is truth. And without a doubt, God's word is truth. You see, we learn there in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18 that it is impossible for God to lie. Did you know that? Did you know that? The Hebrews writer informed us it's impossible for God to lie. So what's that tell us about his word? It tells us it is true. And there is no other book more true. Therefore, when it comes to spiritual matters, don't give me your opinion. Don't give me creed books that have been written by men. Don't give me your tradition that's been handed down to you throughout the years. But when it comes to spiritual matters, may our plea always be, only give me the Bible. I also suggest to us this afternoon, when it comes to spiritual matters, for why our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. And that is simply because there is no other book more pure than the Bible. You see, that word pure means to be free from contamination. When something's pure, it's free from contamination. It's pure. And did you know that not only is the Bible a book of truth, but it's also pure. The words of the Lord are pure. We learn about that there in Psalm 12 and verse number 6. Notice that with me there in the 12th Psalm. There in Psalm 12 and verse 6, the psalmist said, "The words of the Lord are pure words." He goes on to say, "Like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Think about that. The words of the Lord are pure words. And he gives us an analogy of that. He says, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's pretty pure, isn't it? You see, we go on to learn there in Psalm 119 and then in verse 140, where the psalmist informed in regard to God's word. He said, "Your word is what? Very pure. Very pure." We also learn there in Proverbs chapter 30 about the word of God being pure. Notice that with me there in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 beginning. There it's recorded, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." Verse 6, "Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar." Think about that. God's word's pure. It's free from contamination. And therefore, that's why we were instructed there in verse 6, not to add to his words. Not to add to it. And what warning is given that if we do add to it, will be rebuked and be found what? A liar. You see that? But not only is God's word true and pure, but it's also perfect. Did you know that? You see, the word perfect means complete. And God's word, it's perfect. It's complete. It doesn't need changed. Therefore, we must not be adding to it or taking away from it, because it's perfect. And that's why, when it comes to spiritual matters, another reason for why our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. Simply because there is no other book more perfect than the Bible. We learn about the law of the Lord being perfect there in Psalm 19. And there in Psalm 19 in verse number 7, it's recorded, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Remember that. And when it comes to spiritual matters, know that God's word, it's perfect. As the psalmist said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." There in James chapter 1, verse number 25, James also in reference to the Word of God makes mention of the fact that it is perfect. We learn about that, as James says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one, James says, will be blessed in what he does. Remember that. And when it comes to spiritual matters, may our plea always be, only give me the Bible, knowing that there is no other book more perfect than the Bible. But one more reason I suggest to us this afternoon for why our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. And that is simply because there is no other book more powerful than the Bible. Did you realize that this book that we call the Bible that you're holding in your hand right now is a powerful book? Do you realize that? Do you realize how powerful God's Word truly is? You see, God's Word is powerful. It's powerful. And we learn about the power of God's Word there in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16 in reference to the gospel of Christ, which is contained within God's Word. And what did Paul say about that? What did he say about the gospel of Christ? He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe. For the Jew first, also the Greek. Think about that. You see, Paul, he realized the power that is in the gospel of Christ. The Hebrews writer, he realizes the power of God's Word. As he says there in Hebrews chapter 4. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And notice these words of the Hebrews writer found for us here in Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse number 12. There the Hebrews writer says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Remember that. God's word, it's living and it's powerful. God's Word has the ability to, as the Hebrews writer said, to pierce even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It's powerful, isn't it, when you really put that in perspective? Powerful. And when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea must always be, only give me the Bible. For as we have discussed for just a few short minutes this afternoon, the Bible is the all-inspired Word of God. And there is no other book more true than the Bible. There's no other book more pure than the Bible. And there's no other book more perfect nor powerful than the Bible. Therefore, when it comes to spiritual matters, don't let anyone give you their opinion. Don't let anyone give you the creed books that have been written by men. Don't let anyone give you the traditions that's been passed down to them from generation from generation. But may your plea always be, only give me the Bible. These are just a few reasons for why our plea should always be, only give me the Bible. So once more, may we all always make our plea, only give me the Bible. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that, for you have heard the Word of God. And as we talked about this afternoon, God's word is truth. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God. And you can confess Jesus Christ and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember the need to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and his will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, asking for his forgiveness, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this afternoon who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be known now while making your way toward the front while you stand and sing the song, Bruce is selected.